Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees
are falling.
What's up,
everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Orris with you. And what's going on, everybody?
We'll
follow through pressure, but we'll expect a rally here in, today, tomorrow, next day. Again, this is not going to be a straight down move. The markets are not going to all of a sudden collapse. What's going to happen is you're going to look for the positions of lower highs and lower lows, which would indicate that the tops are in. And we would then switch from from buyers of the dips to sellers of the rallies. And that is something that, you know, as markets turn, those are things that we always look to do, is to be in sync with the actual markets and the way that they're moving. And again, you can listen to the idiots talk about, why this, why that, and this news and that news. That's a bunch of BS. It means nothing. The markets don't care. What happens is things start to change, and there, as we've said, many times, that there will be some profit taking, and of course, we can expect it at any time. It looks to me as if, as I've said this for the last couple of weeks, that the markets are dying for a reason to sell off, and with the sell off, will create some, a little bit of fear, and we don't have that reason yet. Now, maybe it will be that we won't be able to get the tax stuff that President Trump wants to get. There's no really telling what that news is going to be going to be yet. What we do know is that the markets are in search of a reason. And you can tell that by watching how narrow the price action is. Pretty much on a daily basis until Tuesday, when obviously we had, the biggest down move of the year, the biggest down move in 115 days, and also, the biggest percentage move. Now, again, it's not going to be like a total, blitzkrieg panic and, end of the world. What's going to happen is we're going to see a nice sell-off, and you might see a continuation before we get the rally. But what we're really looking for is the rally, and where the rally will take us from there. That is really what we're looking for, is where does the rally then take us? And again, if it fails to make a new high, then that would indicate the top is in. We're looking to be sellers, and we will rotate over. And again, there's a lot of reasons to believe that the markets are well overvalued, but I think the biggest thing you look at is the overall daily price movement that has been very little and very minor. So we look for that, and then we take the position of, well, without volatility, we don't really expect a ton, and we're not getting a ton of volatility. So take into consideration the lack of volatility, which means, what does that mean? Well, it still means that investors are still extremely complacent. In other words, what happens in these markets and in situations like this is the average investor has no idea what's going on. The average investor is a headline chaser. They look at the headlines and they want to be either a buyer or a seller. Well, of course, we know that's wrong. How do we know that's wrong? Well, we know it's wrong because if you're trying to follow the crowd, you're always going to be late because the news that you're trying to buy off of is already priced in to the market, because that news is, by the time it hits the actual news, not unless it's something breaking, in other words, if there's some, you know, obviously a terrorist attack or something of that nature, well, that obviously is not something that that's usually reported live. But any other news is already priced into the market. You know, for example, there's a scandal with cattle in Brazil. Well, I think that was pretty evident a week or so ago because of the way that the cattle was trading. So now, you know, it finally hits the news wires and, you know, people are saying, oh, well, we're going up, we're going up, we're going up. And I go, okay, well, that's probably, you're probably going down now. It's probably over because it's now all been priced in. So the late arrivers that are trying to grab a piece of this now will be the ones that will bail out the ones who bought earlier. And, you know, again, this goes down to, you know, to the technology age. You know, we've all got computers in our hands, in our pockets. So it's easy to track the data. So, you know, basically, you know, like there's a bunch of reports coming out. There's not going to be any real surprises in those reports. You can kind of figure out, you know, if you've got the right people and the right team, you can kind of figure out what that data is going to be ahead of time. So, again, that goes back to the lack of potential surprises that the market will see. And then that goes back to how the market will then react to the potential data that you do see. And it's just important. You know, again, these things are not earth-shattering. They're not scientific. They're simple because, of course, I'm simple. But if you try to break everything down to the simplest form and realize very basics about markets, that information is typically priced in ahead of time. Very rarely is it wrong. Now, again, usually what will happen is you'll have an overshoot. I think you had a dramatic overshoot, for example, in the U.S. dollar. When the Fed raised rates last Wednesday, you know, that was already priced in. So nobody was worried about it. And of course, since the Fed hiked, we have seen the dollar basically go down almost every day. The Fed hiked on the 15th. We were at 101.5, and now we're at 99.80. So, you know, it's down, you know, big 3 days. It's flat, moderate 3 days, bringing it down 2%. Because, again, the overall information was already put in to the market. And that's something that you have to realize, you know, unless you're directly involved with news that's going to affect the market and you're the first one to know, then figure you're the millionth person to know. Because, trust me, that's what happens. And that's where most people get hurt, is trying to chase the headlines, because the pundits continue to pump them out there like they're new news. They're old news. All right, it's already, look, once the news hits the tape, it's old. It's like a week old loaf of bread, man. It's done. It's over. It's already been accounted for. You're not going to do anything about it. And all you can do is get yourself into trouble by trying to trade it. And that's just, these are just little lessons to help you improve your ability to make money, whether you're trading, investing, in what you're trying to do. I think that this is important because most people don't understand this. Nor will most people explain it. But this is one of the ways that big banks get out of positions, is by letting you know the news when they're ready. And we're going to talk more about that when we come back from the break, because I think it's interesting and I think it's something that you'll learn from. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, we've got the LibertyTalk.fm, which you can download The Bubba Show every day. And, of course, The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And for you sports fans, I know that the boys have on a player from Princeton. So you listen to some an athlete. In the meantime, The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop by for a break. We will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, of course, we started talking a little bit about the how these markets kind of work. And, you know, one of the things I teach in my classes is that many, many times the people that are reporting the news, all right, the news that's coming out many, many times is being put out for a reason at a certain time. And, you know, when you have somebody upgrade something or downgrade something, usually that means that they're trying to get out and they need the help from you, the buyer, to indeed get out. So they come up with a buy reco. And of course, the average investor comes in buying, allowing the firm who's got the position to get out. Now, again, for the average investor, it's not the end of the world because they're not looking to scalp or get in and out of that trade. They're just looking for a trade. You know, it's like in the olden days, you know, before all this technology and before we had markets that had decimals, you know, most investors didn't care. It wasn't that big a deal. You know, now everybody's worried about, you know, commission and everything else. And again, I get that part, but at the end of the day, if you're buying something, you know, for your retirement account, if you get it at 50 or 50 and a quarter or whatever, it doesn't really matter, right? So at the end of the day, that is the manipulation and the spoofing type of work that is done by many of these firms when they make recommendations. Is their recommendations are very much for a reason to get you to react so they can get out and go the other way. All right. And that happens on a regular basis is the way that the whole system works is that you get a recommendation. They get you out. They get you to move. And of course, then it makes it easier for them because they have now been able to, you know, liquidate their positions for their people. And there we are. We're off and running and on to the next situation. And that really is a regular part of the overall market system. And that's why, you know, you have to be very careful. It's very tricky and very treacherous the way that these markets operate, because you've got these people that have an angle that, you know, again, they're trying to make their clients money. And if you're not one of their clients, you know, because what they're doing usually is they're selling after they tell you something. So again, you have to remember, if we remember this, right, it's always about the money, right? You know, people build their businesses on profits. Brokers build their businesses on keeping their customers happy and making money. And at the end of the day, that's how the whole world operates on the theory of following the money and making sure that you make money. And that's why you'll see many of these big calls and many of these other things. But a lot of it is done to create the other side. You know, there's an old saying, you know, if you look at the bid and the offer on any security, if you see an unusually large bid or an unusually large ask, that means that somebody's trying to convince you to go the other way while they sweep in and get that way. So they're actually trying to manipulate the market a little bit. And they'll always trap some people because people, you know, try to look at things in certain ways. But once they do, that then allows them to get their position off and get them ready. And then, of course, it's off to the races. So those are things you just got to, you know, these are little things that nobody ever teaches you, but you learn them right here at the Bubba Show, because, again, we want to make sure that, you know, we are making you more accessible and having a better chance to succeed at a higher level. And that's what it's always about. So as we look at markets now, you know, again, we'll hear some announcements. You'll see some, if there's something in trouble, you'll see some announcements. One of the other things you want to look for now is you're going to start to see whether or not markets are going to move. And you'll know by the way if we start to get a lot more buy recommendations, you can figure that the market's getting ready to turn and go the other way. That would be a good sign. But really, it's just about, you know, kind of following the money, following the market, following, you know, what is going on without letting yourself get clouded with the overall news information that is out there. That is one of the biggest things and the biggest problems for the average investor is, you know, we want to be able to, you know, be first. And, you know, it even goes back to the old days. They used to have the Barron's bounce, you know, Saturday. Barron's used to come out once a week. And I don't know what the, you know, I don't read it anymore, but it used to be once a week and it was on a Saturday. And so usually on Monday, you'd get the Barron's bounce or the Barron's sell-off from that, from their article, because there wasn't as much information flow. You couldn't get to it. But now, you know, first of all, everybody knows. And look, let's face it. When it does come to money, everything is not as pure as the driven snow. How do we put it that way? All right. You know, you have, and I'm not accusing anybody, but I do know that it goes on. There's a term called front running. All right. Now, you know, front running is I buy a stock and then I tell you to buy it. So I run in front of you. So if you're a subscription service and you say, hey, buy ABC, and you've already bought it and you've got 1,000 subscribers, well, they're going to actually push that up a little bit higher so you could actually scalp off of their money. And that happens. That's a very common theme in this business, is to buy something or sell something and then recommend it or offer it. And, you know, Carl Icahn is no different. Now, what he does, I guess, is legal, because he'll buy something and he'll tweet it out that he's a buyer. So, you know, that's, I guess, legal. Now, again, to me, that's no different than front running. But, you know, I don't have, obviously it's done, and I don't see the regulators knocking at his door. So I have to assume that what he's doing is correct and legal and not a problem. All right. So, but it is, you know, a form of front running. I mean, certainly people are going to try to file Carl Icahn or Warren Buffett. And so, you know, that's, you know, one of the things that one of the advantages they have, especially again in today's technology, is when you can go ahead and pump that information out and say what you've got. And then, you know, people are going to follow you. It actually at that time then leads your position a little bit higher and you can make a little bit more money. So is this technology worth it for these guys? Yeah. The only one that didn't help is Bill Ackman, because he kept buying. He kept fighting it. But I mean, seriously, when you're buying a good company, I mean, those things are, you know, again, they're helpful to those guys. And again, it's obviously very apparently all legal. So, but it is, you know, it is a little quirky. And certainly, you know, not to our advantage, because, you know, if you tweet out, you know, what you buy, nobody cares. Just like if I tweet out what I buy, nobody cares. But, you know, those guys, you know, have big funds and they're tracking big dough. So, you know, I think it's just something that you know, got to be careful of. Like, again, remember one thing always. Defend your capital. Defend your bankroll. Logically look at the chart, at the market, at the situation before you get anything and do anything too crazy. I think that becomes the bigger problem, is that sometimes we allow things to pass us by and we act without having the full knowledge of what to expect. And I think that is the bigger story for most. And I think if you take care of that, I think you'll learn that you'll be much better off in the longer run. And to me, I think that is more the answer than anything else. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, you know, my brand new Bubba's Bottom Line, sweeping the nation. And hopefully it'll be an Emmy Award winning podcast. But you can get that at BubbaTrading.com. And also, of course, you get the daily Bubba Show every day at LibertyTalk.fm, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends with Xander, who's now running it. And they're getting some great guests on that show, so I'd encourage you to check that out if you're a sports fan. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop out here for a break, and we're going to come back with Marlon Bowling and Rural Rally Radio, and they're actually going to interview me and get my take on the markets. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back with Marlon Bowling after the break.
Fly me to...
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. To the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and it, of course, it is that time in which we go and visit Rural Rally Radio and talk agricultural and business and oil and dollars with Marlon Bowling from Rural Rally Radio, RFD-TV. So let's go right to Marlon now. Here we go.
Trading.com in Chicago, and good Wednesday morning there, Todd.
Oh, good morning, Marlon. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Hope you are. Kind of a quiet tone once again here in the grain trade overnight. A little bit weaker once again. Seems like this is a train that's been going on for like a week or more.
Yeah, Marlon, I think we're at some pretty key spots here, generally across the board. You know, as we look at the corn, you know, we've come back from, you know, we were up around in the 380s, and now we're at the 360, which I believe is a really crucial hold spot here. I think if it doesn't hold here, it's probably looking at 350. I do believe it will hold here. I think it's shown enough resiliency. So I do think that will hold. I think that the soybeans are the biggest I'm concerned about here, and that's that $10 range, which we've looked at for a number of weeks here now. And we're just kind of, if you've noticed, over the last 7 or 8 days, we're just on either side of 10 bucks. And, you know, if we can't sustain above 10, I think that brings 940 into play, which obviously wouldn't make anybody happy, including me. So I think that that's a key area. And I think wheat is right here. If it can't hold there, it probably got some room to go on downside. And you know what a big fan I have of wheat. And I think that wheat will rally. And I do like the space in general. I think we're going to have a very good year, and I think that this weaker dollar that you've mentioned, and I think we've got another 5 or 6% down in the dollar, which will definitely help the exports for us. And I think so. Overall, I think it's going to be a very, very solid year and a very good year. But there always will be some trials and tribulations as we get through it.
When you get into a sideways market like this, like we're currently seeing in the grains, does that mean that that presents an opportunity to maybe protect yourself using options at this point?
Yeah, you get opportunities. And, you know, for example, I mean, as I look at wheat right at the moment here, I mean, we're right down on a great support level. And, you know, if you wanted to take a chance in here and you wanted to get long or buy some but didn't want to really take a lot of risk, you could buy some call options down here and give yourself that opportunity to try to benefit from a market move up, because it should go up. If we stay in this, you know, we'd call it a consolidation pattern. I mean, it should churn, which it's done for the last, since the beginning of the year, a low at around 420, the high's been 460. And, you know, we can continue to churn and rotate around that. And so, yeah, you would look to be a buyer down here at the bottom end of a consolidation, looking for at least a rally off of consolidation before it breaks. Because eventually, as we stay in this period here, Marlon, we're going to break out one way or the other. And that is yet to be determined. I think if we look at the longer term trend now, you know, let's say 6-7 months, the trend in wheat has been higher. So we would expect it'll break to the upside, but we have to watch it here. But every time it comes down to a support level, you want to be a step in and a buyer. And every time it goes to resistance, you'd like to, you know, step in and sell a little bit, especially if the range is wide enough.
I guess my point is, when you get the markets going flat like this, typically the premiums on the options really go down, don't they, when there's less volatility?
They do go down for sure. But again, one thing about options, and this is one big misnomer in the business is that options are cheap, and even when they're lower priced, they're never cheap, because if you remember that the other side of that trade is a professional market maker who would be the same as a insurance actuary, they don't make mistakes. They're never going to undersell you. They'll sell you at fair price. Sometimes they're expensive, and that is something. So there's a reason that volatility is so low, and what that means is that when you do get the move in the direction that you're looking for, it may not move up as quickly as you would think, because again, with low volatility, you get smaller price movement and you need a bigger follow through and have to be right more often than just being in the right position. And that's a big thing in options. And that's where a lot of people end up getting hurt, when you do not get any follow through in a market.
Well, we'll pick up where we left it right there after a short break. We're talking with Todd Bubba Horwitz of BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. We'll have a lot more right after these messages. Edition of Commodity Wrap. I'm Marlon Bowling with you, along with Zach Troutman running the board for us today. We're talking with Todd Bubba Horwitz of BubbaTrading.com in Chicago, and you were talking about maybe how you can protect yourself on the corn and soybean markets there, and the possible use of options. But what do these wheat producers do with the market sagging like it is, and potentially in some areas of the country, the crop may be losing its yield potential as well?
Well, I think I'm a big fan, Marlon, of always being hedged, you know, for protection of the downside while leaving the upside wide open. One of the things we use is some of the types of synthetic positions that we build around there. We try to collect premium to, you know, try to generate a little bit of money off of them, but also have that ultimate protection if the market should collapse. And, you know, of course, we've seen this happen, but the biggest thing I've seen, and one of the problems out there for most, is they give up the upside potential, which is what you don't ever want to do, because we know that big markets don't announce themselves, right? They just kind of show up, and if you're already against it, then you've basically given up way too early. So there's ways to actually protect that downside and be in the game and know what your out cost is versus letting the markets work. So if we get a big market and the markets start to all of a sudden, for whatever reason, start to go much higher, you're still participating and you haven't given up that opportunity to make money as the markets go higher, and you've got limited risk to the downside, so that you're really protected. And if you're working that against your marketing plan, you have all your input costs, you know where you're at, then you can actually, you know, pin that down to make sure that you can be in the game and not have a disastrous financial year.
Okay, on the lean hog trade, we have been down for, what is it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 5 or 6 days straight now. How do the hog producers protect their bottom line?
Well, I mean, you know, again, the model that I've created works in all ag products. Some it works better. You know, the more expirations and things that they have, the more options they have, the better it works. But there's ways to, you know, protect, and certainly hog owners could have locked in, you know, $70 a couple of weeks ago, and that would be something that we'd be looking to do, and we'd let it go down, because again, we're taking the money from our position and putting that in our pocket and, you know, paying bills with it, versus it's like we've already sold the hogs, and yet if they go back up, we get the benefit from the big move back to the upside. So it's always a way. Again, one of the things in all markets that I preach to everybody, whether it's, you know, livestock, grains, or equities, is to protect from the downside, because markets don't announce themselves on either side, but you know that you've got an investment to protect, so you might as well protect your money and then look for the bright side and look for the moves that would go higher. And so that's something you would look for, because I think hogs are actually going to go probably, I'm looking for 64 to 62 before this is over.
Oh, you are? Okay, I wanted to ask you about that. I'm looking at an April lean hog chart right now, and it looks like the lowest point that we've had since the day after Christmas would be 66.02, which would be down below where we are now by a couple of bucks anyway, close to that. So do you think that's going to be pretty stout support in the market at this time?
I think we're going to go lower than that. I'm thinking 64, 62.
So you think they're going to take it out pretty soon?
I think so. I think that we've seen, you know, first of all, we've had one heck of a rally, right? We were down in the high 30s back in December. So all of a sudden, we've got this. Now, you do have some decent formation going forward, so it's not like bearish, but I think from a market standpoint, the health and the welfare, I think you get a better opportunity and better buyers coming back in if you can take a sell-off here. And I think, again, it doesn't make farmers and producers feel better, but again, they're not selling it today. So I always warn, don't worry about the short-term action worry about what's going on long term, and if you're protecting it, then it all doesn't really matter.
Well, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, they can call you directly, or you have a terrific website as well. How do they find all that?
They can call me directly at 847-914-0053, or they can go to BubbaTrading.com, or they can just email me direct at Bubba@BubbaTrading.com. And, of course, see me on Rural Rally, hear me on Rural Rally Radio and RVTV. And, again, just reach out to me. I'll be happy to help you, and I've got a lot of information up there for you, and I'm getting ready to do another webinar to kind of teach and go through the methods that we like to use. So any way they want me, just reach out to me and find me. I'll get right back to you.
All right. They can find you about anywhere. All right. Thanks, Todd. Todd Bubba Horowitz of BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. We'll pause for a break, and we'll be back with more of our...
And, of course, as you know, we see the markets continue to push forward, and I think we're starting to see in the cattle markets especially a lot of panic. And, of course, that's always a sign that the top is near when the panic starts to set in, and people that would never panic are starting to panic. So I would just say that, you know, again, we can't just pick the top here and say, well, that's over. But I would certainly say that at the end of the day, we're pretty damn close. And this does look like a blow off pattern in the cattle markets. And overall, I think that we'll see some action here in the ag markets pretty soon. And I just think you got to be, you know, again, you look at the chart, you got to look at the what's going on, because that will really give you a much better idea of what to do next. In the meantime, this is the Bubba. And, you know, in the meantime, we do always have, you know, regular chart patterns for everything. And, you know, charts are always the same for every market. Doesn't matter. You watch the footprint, and the footprint gives you the idea of what to do next. This is the Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, as you know, LibertyTalk.fm, the only place you need to go. But certainly go there and download the Bubba Show, as well as the Sporting Edge on the Weekends and our brand new hit sensation that airs once a week at BubbaTrading.com. The Bubba's Bottom Line is available for you, so make sure you go check that out and have some fun with it. We're going to step out here for a break right here at the Bubba Show. And, of course, don't forget tonight, you've got the NCAAs going again. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back right after the break with more of the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, you know, we've got the healthcare vote, and we've got all these things going on. But yet, as you look at the market, all right, and this is important, right? We texted and we wrote yesterday telling everybody that, hey, you know, that sell-off we saw, you know, is probably, you know, going to build into a rally. And, of course, we did see the markets bounce from those locations. You got to remember that there's things that there are nice triggers in the market. And some of those triggers are, you know, like the biggest trigger right now is watching volatility. Until we get volatility, the market themselves are not going to break. Until we get volatility, the markets are going to continue to, you'll see buying on all the dips. And of course, what do we see? We saw a dip followed by buying. So, you know, you have to remember that you cannot force the market to do what the market's going to do. You have to watch the market and let the market tell you what it's going to do, because it will tell you. The market will give you a clue. The market will help you out. The market will show you many, many different things that need to be done. But you have to sit back and be willing to follow the direction that the market is giving you. Because, you know, again, as much as I'd like to say that the top is in, and I do believe that is true, but we have to see the secondary move, which was the rally, and how the rally finishes compared to the rest of the market. In other words, if we fail to make a new high on this time up, then we can pretty much be convinced that the high is in. But we don't know that for a fact yet. And those are things that are something that, you know, you have to take note of. You know, again, you know, we're playing a probability model. All right. Again, the news has nothing to do with what the markets are going to do. We've seen this for now 9 years, that markets aren't driven by the news, they're driven by the money. So if you continue to try to fight or force markets to do something, what you're really doing is you're putting yourself in a great deal of jeopardy, because it makes you wrong. All right. It's much easier to get with the market when it's time. It's much easier to get to a market that says, all right, I'm ready to go down now. I'm showing you a solid footprint that will allow me to go down. And until that shows up, you can hear all the crap from the pundits and the jackasses out there telling you that this time is different. The markets are going to go up. We've got all this good news. Well, there is a theory that is for sure has been around forever, which is the markets themselves are very forward-looking. They've priced in all this good news that they're talking about right now. All right? You know, you tie in a 250% rally, and you tie in that if the market is priced in all the good news, well, then, you know, what's going to happen if we have expectation versus reality? And so even at market expectations, you know, how much farther, how much more room do you think the market has got to go? All right. Without some sort of a correction or a sell-off. And again, we're not looking for, we don't look for the end of the world. The end of the world comes in time. We're not the Big Short saying that the market's going to collapse. We are the trader that says that the probability states that the market should see some sort of a sell-off. The probability says that there's going to be some pressure on the market here, because at some point there's going to be people that want to take profits. There's going to be some pressure because there are people in the market that would rather be, or people in the market that could make 6 or 7 or let's say 10% that would be much happier with just taking 4% and not have to risk. So when you look at the model, you understand that there's risk and there's reward and there's opportunity. And everybody's got their own risk tolerance. Everybody's got their own views of what is the best for them. And again, many people are not risk motivated. And many people are risk averse, especially those that are, you know, towards either at or near retirement, that have X amount of dollars and they want to be able to live out their life comfortably without having to worry. Well, as good as the stock market is, as good as the returns can be, when you're winding down, you may not be as excited about being in there because, again, there is risk. And risk, although can be very rewarding, it can also put you in jeopardy. And again, you know, if you're, let's say, 60 and you're all in and you got $1 million, okay? And we get a haircut in the market of 30-40%, and you take a haircut in your money, all of a sudden, what are you going to do? Then you have to make a decision. That is always the problem, is when people get forced to have to make that big decision of when to get out. And that is something that you have to really focus on, because it comes back down to you. Now, if you want to stay in the market, I have no problem with it. I don't believe in getting out of the market. And you know, my mom's 88. She's 100% invested in the market because she gets the biggest return there. But, you know, if you hedge that portfolio, and you don't have to worry, then you don't have the downside adverse risk. And that is something that you need to always keep focused on. Whether you use my hedging program or not, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you that if you maintain and manage risk, then your risk is going to be much better off, and you're not going to have the same issues. You're not going to you know, bring yourself into a position that your portfolio is going to collapse. You're not going to have to make that key decision the next time the market melts down. You know, those are all things that we have to be considerate of and concerned of. Because, again, you know, just on a straight big, on a big picture thing, yeah, the markets go up year over year. Great. Okay. And I'm a believer in that. Okay. Even through the crashes. But if you do not protect yourself, okay, if you do not take care of yourself, then you end up putting yourself back against the wall, having to make a major decision for your money, and invariably that position is wrong. And that is why we talk and we're so concerned about the average investor, just for these reasons, because of what does happen overall in markets and why. So you need to make sure that you have a great understanding of what your goals are, what you're trying to accomplish, where you plan on going, and how you plan on getting there. And if you do all that, then you're going to be in really good shape. But part of it is hedging. And again, check out the hedging program at BubbaTrading.com. Again, for the price that I charge for it, it's like free, all right? Because, again, it does miraculous things for the average person. In the meantime, that'll do it for today. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, we got NCAA basketball tonight. I'm going to give you my picks. Michigan and Xavier are my best two. And then I like West Virginia, and I like Purdue. And we'll see what happens, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. In the meantime, libertytalk.fm. Download The Bubba Show every single day. And The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And, of course, the brand-new hit sensation, Bubba's Bottom Line, available to you at BubbaTrading.com. Check it out. I think you'll enjoy it. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Right here on The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.